We're not going to start small. We're going to start by thinking big, thinking about God's vision for the whole world. The best visions are a bit like the best goals in life. To quote author Jim Collins, who writes books on business, they need to be BHAG. Anyone know what BHAG stands for? Big, hairy, audacious goals. Big, hairy, audacious goals, according to Jim Collins. So big that you've got to be audacious. That means have a willingness to take surprisingly bold risks, even to think about trying to reach those goals. They're big and they're hairy. To put it in biblical language, a vision or a goal that is utterly, completely, and totally impossible unless God steps in. The Bible, which tells us the story of God and people, is full of visions like that. Impossible visions unless God steps in. The story starts with creation, and it isn't long before it all goes wrong. Humans mess it up. They mess up their lives. They mess up their relationship and connection with God. They mess up the whole of creation and set it on a downward spiral to destruction. So God steps down, and he comes to an old man called Abraham, who's married to an old lady called Sarah. She's never been able to have children, and now she is past childbearing age. And God takes Abraham, who lived in a tent, outside his tent one night, and he tells him to look up at the stars. And he says this to him: look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. Utterly impossible without God. He wasn't just talking about his natural descendants. He was going to go on and have a son, Isaac. Sarah was going to become pregnant, a miracle. He was talking also about his spiritual descendants, countless numbers of people that were going to come into God's family. But the vision is even bigger, even more audacious than that, God's vision for the world. That story appears in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. If you turn to the last one, you catch a glimpse, literally a revelation of the future, what God is about. This is what it says. There will be a vast crowd. This is around God's throne. Too many to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, that's Jesus. They will be clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." That's where it's going to end, the vision being realized. These people not just sort of whisked away by God to heaven, but part of a renewed earth. Justice, peace, no more pain, suffering, crying, or even dying. That's where it's going to go. That is the vision. The vision to surpass all visions. And that vision is the vision that God invites you and me and us together to be part of. That vision is the vision that can grip your heart like nothing else. That vision is the vision of a future that produces passion in our hearts. The whole focus of the story, the whole focus of the story in the Bible, the vision, the way this seemingly impossible vision is going to be worked out, is through Jesus and what he has done for us. It is through the good news that God has dealt with the biggest problem that we as humans face. That is our separation from him. All of the human problems are symptoms of that problem. We live lives of self-centeredness, which result in us being slaves to what we replace God with in our lives, whether that's money, power, sex, good looks, success, or whatever else it is. You end up being slaves to it, and it leaves you feeling condemned and empty. God's dealt with that problem. The good news, secondly, about what Jesus has done by putting our relationship with God right. God saw our lostness as we were singing, loves us, so came down. Love has indeed come down. Entered into the human history, Jesus lived a perfect life and died on the cross instead of you and me, taking the punishment and rejection we deserve so we could have the blessing and acceptance that he deserves. And thirdly, it's the good news that Jesus will eventually come back and restore everything, put everything right. When he returns at the end, all evil, suffering, decay, and death will be gone. Jesus' salvation, you see, is not some sort of salvation to whisk our souls away to heaven. Our salvation lies not in an escape from this world, but in the transformation of this world. And his invitation to you as an individual, to us together, is to be part of that transformation. It is the greatest, most wonderful, most fulfilling invitation and purpose you could ever find in your life. And we're put right with God, not by our own efforts, but by what he has done. It's a bit like this. Imagine a ladder stretching all the way to heaven. What religion will tell you is why you stand with this weight of condemnation on your back like the most enormous rucksack. You've got to climb that ladder. Every time you do something right, you get to go up one rung. Every time you mess up, and we all do, don't we? You drop a few rungs. And you go up and down that ladder in the hope that somehow you are going to make it, and you never do. So God, in his love, comes all the way down the ladder as Jesus Christ. He dies for us, and in doing that, he installs an elevator. That's what it is. No more walking up and down, endlessly climbing that ladder, knowing that ultimately you'll never make it. God's done it for you. You can't do it by your own efforts. So he comes down and does it for you. And then he gives us himself, his Holy Spirit, inside us to transform us, change us, so we can depend on him. That's what he's done for us because of his love. And that's why it is such good news. That's why also we can play a part. We can be empowered by the Holy Spirit, by God himself, and be part of seeing lives changed, renewed, restored, families changed, communities changed, and ultimately the whole world changed. Everything ultimately put right. That's God's vision for you. It is the biggest one imaginable, the most compelling, the most gripping, the most exciting, the most love-filled you could possibly imagine. He knows, as Esther said, the plans he has for you to do you good and not bring disaster. Esther hadn't planned, I don't think, to read that this morning. It was a little nudge from the Holy Spirit. So for some of us this morning, that's a word for you. That's what God wants to say to you this morning. Let me give you an example, a practical example of something. Some of you will know about Flourishing Families, a charity very close to our hearts that we support. When we moved to Leeds, a group of us, we had a vision to start something that would help families living in deprivation. Things like cookery clubs so we could combat food poverty and poor nutrition, mentoring, helping families to learn to read together so we could change their lives and beat poverty. And others started to share that vision, just a little vision with just a few people. A couple of charities that had supported a youth project back in Oxford, where some of us had been, offered to support us with 2 grants, totaling £20,000, which sounds a lot of money, right? But when you're starting a charity, it doesn't get you very far. It was a small start, a little seed. But God is extraordinarily good at taking the little things and making something big. If you're familiar with the stories of what Jesus did, just think of feeding the 5,000. He can take the little things and make something big. Flourishing Family started 6 years ago with a mentoring group and then a pilot cookery program, all about bringing hope, changing lives, removing barriers, helping families trapped in poverty to flourish. Hands up, just hands up, if you've supported Flourishing Families in any way, if you work for them, if you volunteer for them, if you've been along to anything that they do, hands up. Stick your hands up, there's quite a few people, fantastic. It started small, as I said, but God has done wonderful things. We've marveled at his kindness, at his favor, and it's grown now to be working with about 650 people every year. On Monday, Flourishing Families received a phone call from one of the largest funders of charity in the UK. Their chief exec had been monitoring an application we'd made and had fast-tracked it through, and the news was that this fund are going to give Flourishing Families £250,000, £250,000. Specifically to go to South Leeds and East Leeds. Flourishing Families started in West Leeds, actually in Bramley St. Peter's Primary School, where we're going to be next week. But this is for people, other people in this city. This money is to see their lives changed, ultimately because God loves them. It was an amazing phone call. It reminds me of a story I heard from one of our Flourishing Families team when you think about people. It was a story about of a girl called Abby who started to come along to one of our cookery clubs. She came along with her dad and her siblings because they didn't know how to cook, and they lived on pasta with a tin of tomatoes every night. One or two of you students may already be doing that. But these guys, that's all they could do. At Christmas, we were asked by Abby's school if we could provide her with a jumper because she only had her school uniform. That's the only clothes she had. And when that was in the wash, she came to school in her pajamas. She had no warm clothes. And we began to see her life change. Flourishing Families did that for her because Abby's life matters. It matters to God. We wanted her to taste something of this future that God is going to bring in. That £250,000 is for Abbeys and others in South Leeds and in East Leeds. Just hands up again if you're involved in Flourishing Families in any way. Just stick your hands up again. Give yourselves a pat on the back. It takes more than one or two people to see a vision realized. The vision is best realized when we work together. It's the same in the church. Church, friends across cultures and divides, family and home for people, where we can find where we belong. Jesus right at the center, the church being his body, which shows others what he's really like. A place that is meant to be all about love, where people can find that love and be loved back to life. That's the church. That's what God was talking to Abraham about when Abraham was counting the stars. That's what he was talking about. This family, the church, is the realization of God's promise to Abraham. And you are invited to be part, invited to explore. Now, you may know that we're doing a series at the moment on the church, And Abby has very kindly produced a little video that sums up where we are so far. So this is what we've talked about so far about the church, what it means to be seeing this vision that God has got worked out together.
Christianity is about we, not me. For fulfilled life is not found through pursuing me, 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 like our culture says today. It's found by joining this we, not me journey. And here's the amazing thing. When you sign up for we, you end up discovering me.
In Ephesians 2, Paul is pretty clear. Because of Jesus' death, a whole new way has been created. The dividing walls have been broken, and anyone, no matter what their race, heritage, education, or background, is welcomed to draw near to God.
A strongly advancing, victorious church. That's the sort of church that Jesus is envisioning. Where does that come from? It comes from people who are rooted in Jesus and understand that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, for them and for everybody else all around them.
We are temples of the Holy Spirit, every one of us who knows and loves Jesus. Your walk with Jesus and mine, your prayer life and mine, touches the greatest power in the world. But when we pray together, faith rises, doesn't it?
You individually are a child of God, living in a promise of eternity. But also, we as a church share this knowledge of who we are. I just really want to encourage everybody that there is a chance for you to find your place in it today.
You are joined to this body of Christ by the Holy Spirit.
Even if you don't think you'll bring anything, we need you. We need each other. It is through the church, through each other, we are fully connected to Christ.
When you, good innit, yeah. We'll get it on our social media. When you sign up for We, Mike said in our very first week, you end up discovering me. If you want to know what God's plans and purposes are for you as an individual, the secret, the place you'll find it, is in we, not me. Connecting to something bigger, connecting to his family. So what does that mean? What does that mean in practice? Well, let's ground this and think practically what this means for us. If you've got your Bibles, I wonder if you could turn to the end of Matthew chapter 28 for me, right at the end of the gospel. Let me set the scene for you. This is after Jesus' death and resurrection. He is with his disciples. He's told his disciples to go to Galilee, and on a mountain in Galilee, he meets them. 11 apostles. There are ballpark somewhere between 200 and 500, what we might call Christians, they weren't called that then, followers of Jesus on planet Earth. 200 to 500. Tiny, tiny numbers. A small beginning. And this is what Jesus tells them to do. This, you may know of as, is the Great Commission. This, for Jesus, is what his followers and what the church is meant to be all about. I have been given, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth. All authority. And then he underlines it. All authority in heaven and all authority on earth. There is no other authority. There isn't any. On earth and heaven, you've covered the lot. You've covered all the bases. He's been given it all. Therefore, go. Go. That's what he's saying. Go and make disciples of all the nations, people who will follow Jesus. baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this. This one who's got all authority on heaven and on earth, I am with you always to the very end of the age. That was his commission then. That is his commission now. It means going. It means not resting content. It means there's more. There's always more. There's always more people that God loves that he wants to reach in this way. There's always more people that he wants to see their lives transformed by him so that they can begin to flourish in all that it means to flourish, including having a relationship with him. At the beginning of this year, we began to pray as a leadership team, okay, Lord, what next? Where are we going next? And he said this to us very clearly, think bigger. Think bigger than you're thinking. There's more. There's a city of 840,000 people here in Leeds. Think beyond that city as well. Think planting, church planting, congregation planting, so that more people can experience God's love for themselves, more people can discover that, more can be loved back to life. That's what he was saying to us. You've got to start thinking beyond Notre Dame. That's one of the reasons we're going to Bramley next week. You know, when we heard that we couldn't have this school this week, the initial reaction is, oh no, hassle, we've got to sort some stuff out. But then you begin to think, hang on a minute here, as we look at what we're meant to be talking about next week, what Russ is talking about, which is all about church and community, and we've got this vision to go west, and now, because of what's happening with Flourishing Families, we're thinking, let's go south as well. And God has got us next week going west. We're going to be praying, pioneering prayers to break through for more people to come to know him, for us to establish a place in West Leeds and then in South Leeds where people can be loved back to life. And that place isn't a physical place. It's a group of people who know Jesus and are doing that great commission and thinking bigger. It's a big vision, and big visions require lots of people. In fact, everyone. There is a place for you to find the God's plan for you in a bigger vision. You're invited. Everyone has roles. Everyone has opportunities. Everyone can have responsibilities. Everyone praying. Everyone giving. Everyone serving. It's going to need more prayer, more money, more people if we're going to see what God wants to do. It's about capacity increasing. It's about seeing more leaders trained up. We're going to be talking more about that. It's about seeing how we can grow and encouraging people to grow. Mentoring, student groups. We're going to be starting student small groups. The student weekend next week is all about growth. On Tuesday evening, we're meeting with the young adults group to talk about who we are. Four sessions focused on God's vision and how we can be part about working that. It's a little trial. And then the week after, we'll start that in the student group. And then after that, we'll be anybody can be part of discovering who we are and God's vision in more detail. You are invited. You're invited to be part of something bigger, to think bigger, to be part of something which starts small but has got a big vision. Four practical things, therefore, that we can do. Let's go back to BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goals. B, belong. It always starts with God, with belonging. Relationship comes first with God. That's why he sent Jesus, to put right the biggest problem we have, which is our relationship with him has been messed up by our own wrongdoing. It starts with relationship. It always does with God. Get the relationship right. Be part of his family. And then things start to flow. So you're invited. You're invited to be part. You're invited to explore. If you're not quite sure yet where you fit in that relationship with God, then in a minute we're going to talk about the Alpha course. Our invitation is simple. Come and try Alpha and you'll discover who God really is and his love for you and his plans that he's got for your life. H, heading. Where are you heading? There are moments in life when you set your trajectory. Key life decision moments. For Kate and I, one of those, we were in Oxford. I was just finishing some more study at the university. And I was beginning to think, okay, then I need to get a job somewhere. Kate was a civil servant. She was actually a VAT inspector. But don't boo the tax collectors. She was a taxman, or taxwoman, and we were beginning to think, okay, where next? What do we do? And I began to think, okay, I was a research scientist, a physicist. I think, okay, I just need to find a job in a research lab somewhere. And I basically thought, well, somewhere in the UK. And then God spoke to me. And it was a setting the trajectory moment, a key life decision moment. Where are you going to be? And his question to me was this: where have I joined you? Where, if you like, are you part of something bigger, something that you've been joined to by me, that you can find in that something bigger, you can find the purposes I've got for your life? So we stayed in Oxford. Now, I'm not saying to you, you should all stay in Leeds, but you do need to do this. My encouragement is this, particularly if you're facing a key life decision moment, perhaps you are about to graduate. Where's God joined you? And what's he saying to you about that? How are you going to set your trajectory for the rest of your life so that it counts for his kingdom and his bigger vision? All of us are needed. What's the next step, let me ask, for you in being more part of this life that we have as a community? What responsibilities can you take? What about giving? Let's talk money for a moment. It takes money. It takes time. It takes people if we're going to see God's big plan worked out. And finally, G. If we're going to see anything happen, God has got to turn up. Because just us on our own, what we're talking about is impossible. God's got to turn up to see breakthrough, to see futures realized. That £250,000 I told you about, that didn't just fall into Flourishing Family's lap. There's a prayer support team who later today will get a message from Flourishing Families to thank them for their prayers over a number of months, specifically for that £250,000, which we knew was a possibility, to see breakthrough. They were praying not for Flourishing Families to get a load more money. They were praying so that people's lives would be changed. And they've seen their prayers answered. Prayer is not some sort of passive thing. It's an active thing where we're calling down the future that God has got, where ultimately all things are put right. We're calling something of that down now and seeing those breakthroughs. God has said to us, think bigger. We're thinking bigger. We're thinking wider. We're spreading. For the sake of people who God loves, we want to spread from beyond Notre Dame and go bigger. What's God's plan for your life? What's God's plan as part of something like that? Would you like to discover more of that plan?